and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 184, the Getting Back to Business episode. Let's get back to business, shall we? I do talk about QuiltCon 2016 in this episode, Quilt Diary Day 1. Oh, before I forget, you'll hear Quilt Diary Day 1, and then Quilt Diary Day 2, except that I introduced it saying Quilt Diary Day 3. I don't know why. I thought it was day, well, because I thought it was day 3, but I really, there only are two quilt diaries. There is not a missing quilt diary, so, don't text me a million times saying, Frances, did you? No, I know you wouldn't do that, but it's possible that, say, if my mother actually texted, she might. I don't know. I'm going down a road I don't even want to go down. So anyway, what I'm saying is that was just me being dumb. No worries. So, but yes, in the first Quilt Diary, I talk about not so much QuiltCon 2016, which I've talked about an awful lot for someone who didn't actually attend, but more the conversation around it, which has really interested me. So, and then the second Quilt Diary, I actually talk about while quilting. What do you know? It's crazy. It is Wednesday, March 3rd. Getting into March. A windy day today. Beautiful day. Windy. I thought, wow, this is like kite flying weather. And I thought, March, in like a lion, out like a lamb. But weather is never consistent anymore. So consistent. And in fact, yesterday it was 70 and today it's 50. And it's all good because I actually really like 70 and I really like 50. So, yeah. And besides, I don't complain about the weather. We're going to get right into the Quilt Diaries. I did want to let you know what I'm reading because someone, one of my good email friends who listens to the podcast, chastised me for not saying last time what I was reading. And you know, partly, I'm reading a book from my book club, Under the Wide and Starry Sky by Nancy Horan, who also wrote Loving Frank. Can I tell you, I have to say, although Under the Wide and Starry Sky is a beautiful title, I also think it's a really bad title because I've had to like repeat it to myself like 5 times before I started recording. I had to look it up. I'm like, what is that book called? And yeah, so if you can't remember, you want a title to be kind of catchy. Yay, catchiness. Anyway, so I've been reading that. I'm about page 100. It's not a page turner, but I'm finding it enjoyable. But I can't recommend it yet because it's got over 400 pages. So it could go downhill at any time. I don't know. I hope it doesn't. It's an interesting narrative given Loving Frank, which is about Frank Lloyd Wright and his, second wife. I believe he married her, but it's a similar story, kind of a woman who's artistic and married and not a great marriage. In this case, the woman is married to a philanderer. And I think in Loving Frank, the woman was just married to a regular old Joe. You know, he wasn't actually a bad guy in any way. And then in both narratives, in both stories, the woman is artistic and creative and falls for a very artistic, creative man. And Loving Frank, it's Frank Lloyd Wright. And in Under the Wide and Starry Sky, it's Robert Louis Stevenson. First 100 pages, good. But again, it's not a novel that I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to not quilt. I'm going to read instead. That's a really good novel when you're like, oh, I don't think I'm going to quilt this afternoon. I think I'm going to read. I'm also reading The Prize, with the subtitle, Who's in Charge of America's Schools? It came out last fall in hardcover. The author is Dale Rusakoff. That is a female Dale. And it's really interesting. I love reading about education and teaching and how to make schools better. And in this case, it's about the Newark school system when Cory Booker was mayor of Newark, New Jersey. Mark Zuckerberg, of Facebook fame and wealth, offered $100 million to fix the schools, the only contingency being that Cory Booker had to raise a matching $100 million, which Cory Booker being Cory Booker, a very talented politician and someone a lot of people think maybe the second black president, he had no problem doing. He had has a lot of corporate friends, and that is part of the problem in this book. It's not the problem of the book. It's, I think, somewhat what causes this to what sounds like an amazing thing. Let's take a struggling and perhaps failing school system and invest $200 million in it. But you know, I think it should work, right? It should be a great school and great teachers and all the stuff. But I'm probably a third of the way through, and already it's pretty clear this is not going to work out very well. And what's obvious from the beginning is the community is really not brought in to the process. There's a lot of talk about, oh, this is going to be a community thing, and the community is going to be there every step of the way, making decisions and calling the shots, and that's not what happened. So I think some of this, if not all of it, appeared in The New Yorker. Dale Rusakoff is a wonderful journalist and writer. It's interesting. She gets inside people's heads. So I am enjoying that very much. So those are two books. I'm reading some quilt documentation project books. I am almost done with Michigan. Great book. And I have started reading New Mexico, which is fascinating. And at one point or another, I'm going to sit down and I'll do a sort of presentation to you all and talk about the different approaches these documentation projects and their directors took and the different kind of books that were produced. Reading this one made me realize I know nothing about New Mexico. I'm kind of embarrassed by it when I realized that. But anyway, so I'm reading those and, you know, just I'm quilting a lot. So that's a good thing. And I talk about that. So we're not going to talk about that. I think I say this at the end on my outro, which I think in the quilt diary day two, as I'm finishing up, I call it my extra. It's not. That sounds like a belly button deal. No. Or maybe it's the outro. No, the outro sounds like the belly button. Maybe that's why I called it an extra. I didn't want you to think I was talking about belly buttons. I'm not. I'm talking about the final music and the voiceover that doesn't actually sound that great. We're working on it. I am a professional now. But of course, as I always say, you know, be in touch. I'd love to hear from you. I got a lot of great comments from the last episode, and I really appreciate them. And I got some comments and some emails from people who comment in their heads. And, you know, I do hear those comments. It's true. But I like to see them in writing as well. All right, then. We better get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Thursday, February 25th. I feel fairly certain of that. It is definitely Thursday. And I wanted to do a diary because there's just so much to think about and talk about right now. Still a lot of discussion going on about QuiltCon 2016, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. You know, overall, I'm enjoying this exchange of ideas. I think a lot of people are talking about the Best of Show quilt, my brother's jeans. People are blogging about it, podcasting about it. And the discussion is great, and people have different opinions. But what I love is I feel the discussion is about more than this particular quilt. It's about what is modern quilting, what are we looking for in quilts, what makes an excellent quilt, etc., etc. Recently, Katie of Katie's Quilting Corner, posted a great blog post about this. In fact, I think she posted it last night. I'll link to it in the show notes. Really great points, really interesting things to think about, including, you know, are modern quilts supposed to be functional? And if so, you know, doesn't that suggest that workmanship is important? Having a quilt, a functional quilt, means a quilt that's built to last. And that's what some people are looking at my brother's jeans and going, you know, this isn't a functional quilt. This quilt is not well constructed enough, and which may be, and this is what I argue, that if the quilt is roughly constructed, now I did not see it firsthand, so I can't speak to its construction, but people are saying, oh, it's poor workmanship, the construction is not good. I would say it's intentional on the artist/quilter's part. But if it's not functional, is it a modern quilt? Because isn't functionality central to the definition of what makes a modern quilt? I say yes, but I think that's changing. And that's something that we can talk about and think about. It's exciting to be if we were talking about the modern quilt movement as a novel, all right, and looking at the plot,
plots move in a certain way, and you have your beginning, which is a kind of a, you open up and imagine sort of the first, it depends, but let's say the first quarter of a plot is really kind of setting the story in motion, right? And you almost imagine starting a straight line and then kind of moving up a hill a little bit, moving up a hill. And I feel like we're at the top of the first hill. I think we are past modern quilting's beginnings and we're getting to a new place. And this is the place where you're going to have all kinds of discussions about really what is modern quilting, what directions is modern quilting going in. And I predict within a number of years, say 3 to 5 years, maybe even sooner, functionality will stop being a defining component of what makes a modern quilt. I think we're seeing this already, right? I think not only with my brother's jeans, but other quilts at QuiltCon, which don't strike me as quilts that you would use. And it's interesting to talk about what is a functional quilt. You know, it's a quilt that's large enough to be used either while you're sitting on the couch or in your crib or on your bed, right? So that, but also a quilt, let's say, that is not embellished. You feel like embellishments need to be protected. Would you agree with that? Disagree? But I think that's fair enough to say. And I think modern quilts do not tend to be embellished quilts. A painted quilt, I don't think, is a functional quilt. I don't know. I don't have much experience with painted quilts up close. But again, it seems to me that's the sort of quilt that you would need to protect, that you would not throw in the washing machine. Maybe a functional quilt, maybe a prime definition of a functional quilt is a quilt that you could throw in the washing machine without a second thought. Right? You wouldn't worry about the beads coming off, the paint running, anything. So a functional quilt is a quilt that's big enough to cover a human being of one size or another and that you can throw in the washing machine, maybe with some color catchers just to be on the safe side. There are a number of quilts I've seen from QuiltCon. Could you throw them in a washing machine? Sure. Would you? Maybe not. Is it the kind of quilt that you would cover up a human being with? I don't think so. So anyway, just my thoughts on that. But do read Katie's blog post. Again, I'll link to it. And also, if you haven't listened to, my best friend Annie, that's Annie Smith to you, just Annie, sweet Annie to me. Listen to her latest podcast episode. You can find it on iTunes. I will link to it. And she interviews our darling Krista Watson, who, of course, I want to call Christine Walton. Krista should probably at some point make a list of all the different names that she's been called. But her name is Krista, and we know her through her fabulous machine quilting. She is a modern machine quilter. She has books. She is a fabulous online presence. She is a teacher. And one of the things I loved about Annie's most recent podcast episode is she interviews Krista, and we learn things. I learned things that I did not know about Krista's quilting journey. And just very interesting. She is a lovely person. She has a great voice. I think she should do a podcast. But she and Annie were at QuiltCon. They sit down. They talk about Krista's career a bit and how she came to be where she is. And then they talk about the show. And they talk about the judging. And it's a wonderful conversation in so many ways. And I loved hearing Annie talk about her response to the quilt, which she said was a very emotional response initially. It made her cry. Once she read the quilter statement. And yet she is a quilt judge, a very experienced quilt judge. So her second go-round with this quilt, or maybe her third go-round with this quilt, she came back at it like a judge. And that made her question some things. So it's a great conversation, and I recommend listening to it. And I'm really hoping that Annie is going to keep us in episodes once a week, twice a month from here on, because I always love hearing from my dear friend Annie Smith to you. Anyway, so I am loving this discussion, and I love the back and forth. It is not an ugly discussion, and I think people are really trying to figure things out. Now, what I'm trying to figure out, and I think I have figured out, is what to do with the back of my VFW, that would be my Victoria Finley Wolf star quilt. So we have a front with the wonky star blocks, and now the right border is a kind of wonky piano key border, and that's the only side I'm putting that border on. And now I've got to do a back. And I was like, what do I want to do for the back? What do I want to do for the back? And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to do some more made material, a la VFW, and do a big star on the back? And I was like, well, how am I going to make this star? Am I just going to cut it and applique it? I'm like, that's not going to work. I don't think that's going to work. And I'm like, well, do I just figure out, do I email Pam and Jay and say, help me figure out the math on this? How do I do like a sawtooth star with a really big star, the size of a quilt back? And I'm not sure how big my quilt is, but you know, big enough. It's a good, I don't, let's call it 60 by 40, although it is wonky. I got an email from Noni saying, you know, I was looking at that picture of your quilt and it's not square. And I'm like, yeah, I actually didn't make it square. And she pointed out, you know, she's like, if you're going to give it away, you know, that could be problematic, but I'm keeping this one. So, I don't know how functional it's going to be. It could be functional because I can wash it. But I also could see hanging it up because I'm like looking at it. But I was thinking, okay, I've got to do the back. Want to do a big star. How do I do the big star? And then I remembered, a year ago, I made a big star quilt. And I thought, oh, so you actually, and it's about that pattern, the star from that pattern is about the size of the kind of star I want. So now all I have to do is find the pattern. And it's here somewhere. It's sadly not in my pattern book. But it's around. And I'm going to find it. But if I can't find it, then you know what? All I have to do is text my friend Sarah, who I made the quilt for, and say, will you please look at the label? Because you know why? Did I put the pattern designer on the label? Yes. Even though I actually made stuff up for that quilt, right? It's on a very different quilt. You can tell that my quilt is inspired by that pattern. But I made lots of changes. But nonetheless, for future quilt historians, and just out of the goodness of my very good heart, I put this quilt was inspired by a pattern by so-and-so and named the pattern. So, if I can't find the pattern here, I know it's online because I lost a page of it at some point. And so, and I was able to find the pattern online. So yes. Yeah. So see, labeling your quilts is a good thing to do. So I'm excited. Now the question becomes, I don't know what color fabric I'm going to use for the background fabric of the quilt back. And I'm kind of excited to get going on this back. Although, you know, making made fabric where you're just sort of improvise, just sewing all these different strips and pieces together and making this collage, it actually takes a while. But I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, I would be ready to put the back together by Saturday or Sunday. Sunday's not going to happen because I'm teaching my creative writing workshop. But I'm like, what if I really made progress? It's like, the question, what I'm getting to is like, do I go to Thimble Pleasures and get Kona Solid? Let's say I do a gray background. Do I go and get the Kona Solid? Or, you know, I actually just thought maybe a bright, like, teal or something. Anyway, even though I have sworn off Kona Solids. Now, you know, if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you know what a hypocrite I am. I'll never do that again. And then I do it. I'll never say that word. And then I say it. So, yeah. But so for expediency's sake, do I just go buy the dang Kona? I see so much Kona love. How can this be when it frays? In fact, okay, I'm working on my second donation quilt right now. And what I'm doing, the reason why I'm doing a second one before I've even kind of introduced the first one to my non-existent donation quilting group, I wanted to do another one using 4.5-inch squares. All right, so get these 8-inch blocks and see how that looks. And see, because I think the quilt should be a little bit bigger. The quilt, the standardized donation quilt that I will teach people to make should be a bit bigger, but not a ton bigger. So instead of, so I don't want to just add a row of blocks of 6-inch blocks, right? Although maybe, I don't know. You know, I'm really bad at math and I'm a little bit tired. I went out last night, Wednesday night. My friend Ann turned 50 and she had a group of her friends, none of whom I knew, invited her out to dinner, took her out to dinner, and she texted me on Monday and asked me if I would like to go too, which I just thought was very sweet. And because she gave me 48 hours advance warning, I did go, and it was very fun. But it was 3.5 hours at a noisy restaurant, talking primarily to people I've never met before. And they were lovely because Anne is lovely. So, of course, all her friends are really nice, too. And Anne and I go way back. We've known each other almost 20 years. We used to work together before we had kids. I think before Anne was married, I was married to the man. Anyway, so, yeah. So, all this to say, I am a little tired this morning. And not from drinking. I did have 2 glasses of wine, but they weren't big glasses of wine. And they were consumed over a 3.5... Oh, that's Travis. It's okay, Travis. You're scaring people. Oh, you're a good watchdog. He's asleep. The heat went off. He woke up and barked. Yes. Anyway, so it's not that. I think it was just a lot of socializing. I feel like I've been pretty social for February, and that's good because it makes February seem less bleak, but I think I'm getting to this point like, wow, I may need to taper off a bit. Anyway, that's just to say I'm a little tired. So I cannot do donation quilt math right now. But so I'm trying bigger blocks, 8-inch blocks instead of 6-inch blocks. And I'm using just stuff from my stash, and I'm using some Kona, and it just frays and frays, and it makes me crazy. So here I am using the fraying Kona and at the same time thinking about, well, if you wanted to get that this weekend, or I can make an order from American Cotton brand fabric, if that's actually who I order from, and have something by next week. You know, if you order from Fat Quarter Shop, which I think I have, I think they carry that brand. They're so good about getting stuff to you fast. So that's what I have to go back and forth on. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm excited to have this idea. I think it will be cool. I think, and it may make the quilt sort of function as, you know, two-sided. I don't know. But I am moving along on that and also pondering a new quilt. But you know, this new quilt, and I want to do a Birds in the Air quilt. So my book, Birds in the Air, which will come out sometime this summer. Fear not, you will hear a lot about it beforehand, during, afterwards. I just thought it would be fun. Got a book called Birds in the Air. Make a couple Birds in the Air quilts, one a traditional and just lap size, you know, not a huge quilt. But then that'd be fun to do a modern Birds in the Air. And so I started looking at pictures online of flocks of birds and found some really good pictures. And I thought, well, how are you going to do this? I'm like, is it possible to actually piece it? And, you know, I messed around last weekend just trying some things, and I couldn't figure out how to do it. And I think I'm going to need to paper piece. But it has been a while since I've done any paper piecing. Fortunately, a couple years ago, my mom sent me a paper piecing DVD by Carol Doak. So I've got that out, and I will kind of figure out, remind myself how to do that. And hopefully that's going to allow me to do a Birds in the Air modern quilt. So I'm excited about that, and I'll keep you updated on my progress. I do think then the traditional Birds in the Air block is a fairly simple block. Imagine a square, divide it diagonally. Half of the square is just blank, just a solid, and the other half is half square triangles. So that I don't think would be that hard. And maybe since now I'm such a big hand piecer, I'll hand piece that. That food for thought.
food for thought. All right. Well, this has been a long quilt diary, and I sense myself going into rambling mode, and I won't do that to you because now, of course, I am a professional podcaster and no longer ramble. Ah, those were the days. Okay. I will talk to you soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 3. It is March 1st, Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. Hurrah! It's springtime. It's going to be 70 degrees outside, and 70 degrees really depresses me in December, and it kind of bugs me in January, but March 1st, it just means spring has sprung, and we all have allergies. Mine are not that bad, but poor Jack and poor the man. They suffer so this time of year, and my car totally dirty, but I am not washing it until the wave of green pine dust has come and gone. That'll probably be a little later this month, maybe April. It could be a long time before I wash my car. I don't wash my car that much to begin with. Anyway, things I want to tell you. Kind of pretty done with talking about QuiltCon 2016. I've enjoyed all the discussion. I've enjoyed reading about it online. My last thing that I will say that interests me, because as I've said before, I just think it's so cool that we're in this, the middle of this movement. And a lot of us here in Podcastville, here in off-kilter quilt land, are not modern quilters. Or I think maybe there are a lot of people like me who consider themselves modern traditionalists, traditional moderns. We're just all over the place, right? We just we love it all. We love all quilts. But whether you're in the middle of the modern quilt movement or just watching from the sidelines, it's neat to watch something evolve, watch something grow and change and eventually fracture and crumble. Oh, that's terrible. That sounds bad. I don't wish it, but that's what happens with art movements, right? They evolve into something else. And I think in a lot of ways, modern quilting is an art movement. So I'm enjoying the whole spectacle and enjoying making some quilts. Using modern techniques. That doesn't sound quite right, but you know what I mean. I like making a modern quilt now and then. Okay, let me tell you what else I want to talk about. A couple weeks ago, I posted on Twilters asking about quilting catalogs. And most of the ones that people named were ones that I was familiar with, but there was one that I was not familiar with called Craft of Quilting. And so I ordered it, and it came in the mail a couple days ago. It's a fairly light catalog, not a heavy one, but what's inside its pages is wonderful. It's very modern focused, and it's the first quilting catalog that I've seen to be that intensively focused on modern fabrics and modern quilts. So you can go to the website, craftofquilting.com, and order yourself one. And I liked it, and I could see... I don't order a ton from catalogs, but I could see ordering from it. There were some fabrics I really liked. Speaking of fabric, you will not believe the self-discipline I have exercised. I actually, instead of going to Thimble Pleasures and buying Kona, which makes me crazy, and you know what makes me really crazy? Kona's color of the year. You know how I am about yellow. I am so not yellow. I am so not lemon yellow. I'm so not yellow leaning bright. Throw a little orange in it, get peachy on me. I can live with that yellow. Lemon yellow, bright yellow, hallucinatory yellow. And now, of course, people are doing the Kona challenge, right? They're doing... And so on Instagram, my Instagram feed is filled with yellow. Bah! So, instead of going and buying Kona that I would then complain and moan about for weeks to come, I ordered through my favorite online shop, Fat Quarter Shop. I want to say Fat Quarterly. That's not right. It's Fat Quarter Shop. Ordered some American brand cotton periwinkle, which I think it'll be a very nice backing for my VFW Victoria Finley Wolf Star quilt. My plan, I'm making made fabric right now, and I was thinking I would do one really big star in the back, and I still may. We'll see. It may be two or even I could envision a vertical row of three stars. I'll see how this works out. One step at a time, but I'm excited for the back of this quilt. Now, going with periwinkle, don't know about the lime green binding. I'm going to have to ponder that. Let me stop myself and give you a little bit of news. I had a very brief
email exchange with VFW herself, yes, Victoria Finley Wolf. Now, at first I was very excited because I thought she had listened to the podcast. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. But then I realized her comment came on an earlier episode, right? We're up to like episode 184, I think. And this was on 169, which was August, beginning of September. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd, but maybe I talked about her on that podcast, because what her comment was basically, hi, very friendly, full of smiley face emoticons, but it was basically, hi, it's Victoria, not Virginia. And I know there was some podcast episode not too long ago where I said Virginia Finley Wolf, and then later said Victoria, and being as lazy as I am, I did not correct the first one. So I thought, well, maybe that's the podcast. The more I thought about it, that's weird that she would have been listening to episode 169 and blah, blah, blah. And then I thought, you know what? I bet she did. Because she mentioned this on the first Fonz, especially Fonz and Porter podcast, the first Fonz Girl podcast. She was their special celebrity quilter guest. And she talked about the fact that people more and more were referring to her as Virginia Finley Wolf. And I thought, I bet she Googled Virginia Finley Wolf. And so I Googled Virginia Finley Wolf, and sure enough, there are all sorts of references to Virginia Finley Wolf coming to visit, you know, the Minneapolis Modern Quilt Guild, Virginia Finley Wolf. And I thought, I bet that's what she did. But before I made that connection, I actually emailed her back and just said, oh, you know, sorry about that. And da-da-da, as an English major, I love Virginia Woolf, blah-blah-blah. You know, kind of light, kind of funny, and was like, oh, and thanks for listening to the podcast. So it was after that when I thought, she didn't listen to the podcast. She did a search. This has been on her mind. But she emailed back and said exactly what I thought, which was basically, yeah, this is happening so much that I searched, and, you know, and it's funny because... she's like, I think she's contacted people saying, it's Victoria, not Virginia. And then I think she said something about somebody changed it. There's an artist named Rebecca Finley. And so I think someone had referred to Victoria Finley Wolf as Rebecca Finley Wolf. And so Victoria contacted this person who then changed it, said, oh yes, I'll change it, and changed it to Virginia Finley Wolf. So I wrote her back and just said, perhaps you need to consider changing your name legally to Virginia. Just a thought. But I changed it. It was in my show notes on episode 169. That's what she had found Googling, was my show notes, in which I had put Virginia Finley Wolf. So I edited and changed that. And if she does legally change her name to Virginia, I will, of course, then go and edit again. But everything I've heard about VFW is that she's a lovely person, and her emails were very lovely and funny and friendly. And I know Jay, art quilt maker Jay, took her class at QuiltCon and loved her, and on and on and on. I get to be a fangirl about one person, two, VFW and Julia Roberts. That's it. That's about as fangirly as I can get. Anyway, that was neat, though. You can imagine I was excited. All right, the other thing, new donation quilt. And I'm doing a red and white. And my thought was to do half of the blocks red and white with solid reds and the other half with prints. And I'm putting it together. I'd say about halfway done. It's on my wall. Yeah, maybe a little bit. I don't know. I think I need something. I don't know. I'm not quite happy with it. And I almost feel like you either do all red solids or you're going to have to mix up the red prints in some way. But I can't figure out what it is yet. I have, I'm trying to use scraps and just leftover fabric that I have. And I have some leftover 1930s, which is a red, but then it's got like a little kid riding a tricycle, and that's blue. And I thought, maybe I need to use some of this and get some blue in there. And I don't know. It's so funny when you look at something and you know it's not right, but you don't know how to fix it. And sometimes that just takes time, living with something until, you know, and experimenting. And that's, you know, I find that in writing. I will come across a passage that I've written in a book I'm working on and just go, I don't like, you know, every time I go by it, I'm like, you know, and squint so I don't have to see it and think about it. Because sometimes it just takes a while. And then, you know, when I'm finally brave enough to start messing around with it, I usually find the solution. So that's where I am with that. I've been in touch with the youth pastor at the church. And so we are going to meet, but the youth are doing a mission trip to Haiti. And Gare, the youth minister, she wants to, they want, they're going to have an auction to raise money. And so they're actually going to do some t-shirt quilts, which, you know, I don't know why I have snobby feelings about t-shirt quilts. Maybe it's actually just masking my insecurity about sewing anything that's not 100% cotton and doing it successfully. But anyway, we may have a sew-in in which we sew up some t-shirt quilts, which will be my first experience quilting a t-shirt quilt. Anyway, but moving forward with the donation stuff. So that's good. The donation quilt project. I want to thank everyone who has commented or emailed in the past week and a half. I've gotten a lot of great comments on the last episode. I've gotten great. I actually did a blog post, and that is something you'll see more of. I'm starting to build my social media platforms because, yeah, I'm publishing a book at the end of the summer, and I need to be present. I don't know what I'm doing, but I do know I like to blog, and you know, I want to do more writing about quilts because it's fun talking about quilts. But as you know, if you've listened to this podcast for any period of time, I am kind of rambly and not necessarily coherent. So I'm looking forward to having more opportunities to be coherent through writing about quilts. And I did write about my brother's jeans, and I got a lot of great comments about that, which I appreciate. I don't think the blog is different from the podcast, so I probably, unless there's a comment that I think is really relevant to the podcast, what we're talking about on the podcast, I'm not going to go over blog comments here. And anyway, but do look for that. I will be posting, if you're on Twilters, when I do new blog posts, I will advertise it there, and I'll put it on Twitter as well. Yes, so I got a couple great emails. I don't want to go, I want to protect the emailer's privacy. But one was just a wonderful email from a longtime listener who's never commented. But finally, what brought her out was me talking about hand piecing. And she told me a great story about being ill with cancer, recovering from cancer and being very sick. And that seems weird. She told me a great story about having cancer. But one of the things is she didn't have enough strength to sew. And so she started hand piecing and got really into it. And, you know, started, you know, learned through Jenny Byers books and probably videos. And yeah, and she got better. She's been cancer free for 4 years, and she took a pilgrimage to Jenny Byers' store in Virginia and met her and fangirled on her. So totally get that. Totally get it. It was a great story. It was beautiful. I got another email, and this was in response to last week's podcast talking about my brother's quilt. I'm sorry, my brother's jeans, the Best of Show quilt for QuiltCon 2016. You know, and I talked about it in the last episode, and I referred to Melissa Averino's brother as having committed suicide, which he did. But this email, and it was lovely. It was a wonderful, very just trying to share some information kind of email. A mother who lost her 23-year-old child to suicide. And she's very involved in a suicide support group. And one of the things that she wants to change in the way we talk about suicide is to get rid of the phrase committed suicide, because it makes it sound like someone committed a crime. Right? He committed armed robbery. She committed a felony. He committed homicide. They committed suicide, right? And here's the thing. We live at the level of our language, right? The way we talk, the words and language we use shape the way we think. And so, yes, when you say someone committed suicide, it does have that tinge of they committed a crime, right? So, and I'm trying to remember what she said. If she said died by suicide, right? Just finding another way to say that, to make us think differently. This isn't a crime. So I really appreciate it. I appreciated the tone of the email, which was friendly and just saying, you know, this is something I want to get out there. And she knows I care about language. So she wanted to say that to me. So, you know, I don't think this is going to be a podcast where we talk about suicide that much, but it might come up. And I've told her, if she hears me saying committed suicide, get on, you know, mention that and say, no, you know, let's talk about it a different way. So it was a beautiful, very moving, very sad email. So I appreciate, you know, I feel honored when I get these kind of emails with these kind of stories. You know, I'm kind of honored that people listen at all to me. Especially people like, yeah, I've been listening to you for almost 6 years now. I'm like, wow, I need to do a better job. But to get these stories and to share these stories with me, to have people share these stories just feels like a really important thing. So I appreciate that. I got a great email from my librarian friend, Chris, who I hear from, I don't know, Chris, what, every couple months, every 3 months, we talk about children's books and quilting. Chris and I got to meet in person in Cincinnati a few years ago when my mom and I went to the Big Quilt Show there. So it's always good to hear from Chris. It's always good to hear from everyone. I want to say thank you to everyone who commented on the last episode. I got lots of great comments, and I want to thank Sharon, who was a first-time commenter. And what brought her to me? Hand piecing. And she enjoys hand piecing while traveling. And that's what I'm looking forward to, being able to take quilting along with me. Heard from the wonderful Katie from Quilting Daydreams, who, by the way, bought her daughter my books for Christmas. Yay, Katie from Quilting Daydreams. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And she loved, she got one of my books for Christmas, and her daughter loved it. Yay, Katie's daughter. Heard from the wonderful Krista Watson, yay, from Dory. One of the things, oh, I didn't say this. One last thing about my brother's jeans. Part of the controversy around it is people, that when it won the prize, the word went out that the judges had read the quilter statement and considered that as part of their judging. And Krista has been out and loud about no. That was not true. They did not read the statement beforehand. Important to know. Thank you, Krista, for letting us know that. Heard from Dory from Hobbies Up to Here. Great new podcast. I hope you guys will listen to it. I just love listening to Dory and her daughter talking back and forth. I think her daughter is Katie, and I think I've got that right. And they are smart and funny and interesting and just lovely. Heard from the wonderful, marvelous Kelly the Fifth. Heard from Natalie. And Natalie sent me a link to an article on cognitive anchoring. You know, I mentioned in the last episode someone on Twilters had gotten a hard time, was given a hard time at her guild meeting for sewing, which everyone just thought was crazy. But the fact is, for a lot of us, doing handwork while we're listening actually does focus us. And in fact, turns out there's research supporting us. So thank you, Natalie. I will do my best to remember to link to that in the show notes. And it's Natalie from Germany. And I hope, is it Natalie or Natalie? Natalie. I've got some listeners from Germany. I've got Carmeet and now Natalie or Natalie. I'm not sure which. Tell me. Let me know. And Natalie is one of those who comments in her head. I hear you. I have magic powers. It's all good. Uh-oh. I think my cleaning people are here, so I'm going to continue this in just a sec. Okay. I also heard from, I got a lot of great comments on the blog post, some thoughts on judging the modern quilt. And I'm not going to read those comments, but I will say thanks to Krista, Glenna, Jackie, Miss Lottie, Very Lazy Daisy, Shelly Beth. Good to hear from you, Shelly Beth. Virginia, Kristen, and I think Jay at some point might have. I'm not sure. Anyway, thanks to Jay. Jay got caught up on comments today, commented on a lot of different episodes. Yay to Jay. Jay, as you know, is an art quilt maker. Go visit her blog at artquiltmakerblog.com. And I did get a nice comment from Victoria Finley Wolf, not Virginia Finley Wolf. And let me see. I'm just scrolling. Got a comment on the podcast from Kristen. Yay. And heard from Sherry D regarding pens, if it's not too late. And Sherry D, it is never too late. She said, doing donation quilts, teaching people how to pin squares together, remind them that pins won't melt if they're touched by an iron. Good point. I never would have thought about it. Heard from Carmeet on the blog. Heard from Miss Lottie on the episode. And
This is one of the more interesting comments I've ever gotten. Very short, very sweet. Thought I'd let you know that your podcast has been keeping me company while I clean out the birth pool at work. I've never gotten a comment like that before in my life. Thank you, Miss Lottie. Also known as the slightly mad quilt lady, I hope you're listening to her podcast as well. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to comment or email. I really appreciate you. If you want to email me, it's fdowell@nc.rr.com, or just come on over to the Off Kilter Quilt. And with that, time for my extra. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.